Proverbs 23, verse 23, title is Buy the Truth and Sell It Not. Buy the truth and sell it not. Pontius Pilate said, what is the truth? Or what is truth? And our Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
Since the Lord Jesus is the truth, how are we to buy the truth? Well, that's a metaphorical expression for believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as everything to us. Everything. Let's look at Psalm 23, verse 23. He says there, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Now look at Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22 and verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last to us. In Him, it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And that's all the fullness of everything that God requires of us in order to be received of Him in perfect fellowship. It's all in Christ Jesus. In Him dwelleth all the fullness. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 2:9 and Colossians 1:9, I believe it is, says, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. He is to us then all things. Of God the Father are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God the Father is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He's the Lord our righteousness. Since He is the Lord our righteousness, then we're perfect in God's sight. I think that's something we need to concentrate on some and get in our mind, that He, the Lord Jesus, is our perfect righteousness. In Him is no flaw whatsoever, no evil. In Him is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And we are complete in Him. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in Him. We're complete in righteousness. We're complete in holiness. We're holy before God, perfectly holy in the holiness of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And all of our internal conflicts that we have between the old man and the new man, all of that struggle that we go through with between the flesh and the spirit, all those things that we experience and see and understand as being in us and of us, where all that sin, even the sin nature, or the accountability for the sin nature was all wiped out at the cross.
Amen.
In the body and soul of our Lord Jesus Christ, in His flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ put away our sin. God dealt with sin in the flesh and soul of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Look at the, let's go back down into Colossians chapter 1 again. Verses 21 and 22. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. Now God was propitiated. He was made propitious toward us at the cross. That is, His justice was satisfied. His law and His justice was satisfied. But God has loved His people with an everlasting and infinite love from all eternity. There's never been a time when God fell out of love with His people. God's always loved His people. But His law and justice had a quarrel with us, and that quarrel was settled by the cross in the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. It was us who was reconciled at the cross. We were reconciled. In the body of His flesh through death. God dealt with sin in the body and soul of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ Jesus was punished at Calvary, God was dealing with sin in His humanity, in His true body and human soul.
Amen.
God was dealing with sin, punishing it to the full extent and putting it away forever. So that we have no sin whatsoever in the sight of God. We are perfected in Him unto everlasting. And we've been in Him from everlasting. From the thought of Christ. And that has no date. In the mind of God, from the thought of Christ, without beginning, in the first concept of Christ, and you can't, we creatures of time can't correctly verbalize that. But in the initial thought of Christ, His body was with Him and in Him. From everlasting, before the foundation of the world. That means before the thought of the world. Mm-hmm. Before anything. We've been one with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the body of His flesh through death to present you holy. How holy? Well, how holy is holy? There's no degree of holy. You either is or you ain't. One or the other. And we are. We're holy in the holiness of Jesus Christ, God the Son.
Amen.
He's our holiness. To present you holy and unblameable. We can't even be blamed because we were in Adam. When He fell, we're unblameable because He put away our sin and washed away every stain. And unreprovable in His sight, if you continue in faith grounded in self. Well, if he's done the real work in you, then you'll really continue.
Yeah.
If he didn't do the work in, if the church did the work, or if old brother so-and-so did, or mama or papa or whoever did it besides God, then it won't endure. But if God did it, then he'll endure. All right, so he is our Alpha and our Omega. He is the beginning of the wisdom, righteousness. He is wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He redeemed us perfectly at Calvary. There's no price that he didn't lay down for us at Calvary. When he came out of the tomb, he came out of the tomb without sin. And when he returns, which we believe very soon, it'll be without sin unto salvation. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 26. Well, let's go back to verse 25. Nor that he should offer himself often. Now, Christ offered himself as a sin offering to God. And the sin offering was that one in which God dealt with sin and put away sin. The sin offering was very, very bloody. There was sin sprinkled on the curtain of the Holy of Holies. There was blood sprinkled on the golden altar. There was sin sprinkled on the brazen altar. Everywhere you looked, there was blood. And that blood was the token of the price paid in full. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. We all were crucified. We all died with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sins were put away. 9:25. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now blood was the token of the covenant. The life was in the blood, and therefore God gave it to mankind upon the altar as to put away sin. But look in verse 18 of Hebrews 9. For when Moses, or in verse 19, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined to you. Now we've been sprinkled with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our conscience has been sprinkled from evil, from evil works, from dead works, by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been sprinkled by his blood. So the truth is a person. Buy the truth. And you buy that truth by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing him, we have the knowledge of the holy. we have the knowledge that holy people have. We have the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to know Him is eternal life. 1 John 5:20 and John 17:3 says that whom to know is eternal life. Look at John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Now look at 1 John 5:20. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now we know that. Believers know God in Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. And we'll begin a reading, verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In knowing Jesus Christ, we know God. And that is eternal life. In knowing Jesus Christ, we know God in His fullness, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we know God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, for they are one. And we know that. That is knowledge that has been implanted in us and imparted to us by God the Holy Spirit. Amen. He is the one who taught us that. We never came to that knowledge by ourselves, by our studious study of the Scriptures, by our own natural intelligence. He uses our natural intelligence. He uses our eyes. He uses our ears. But He Himself teaches our heart, and He implants the knowledge of God in our heart. He gives us the true faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when He does that, when He has taught us, then we've bought the truth. We've received what He gives.
Amen.
We can say that we've bought what He sells. Not as though we gave something for it. Although we do give something for us, buy the truth and sell it not. When we profess to buy the truth, and when persecution comes, or some kind of trouble comes, and we give up on the truth, which God's people don't do that, but worldly professors do, then we've sold the truth. Look at Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Now, when we hear the preaching of the gospel, or we overhear a conversation, or we read something in the scripture, or we don't perfectly understand it, or we don't take it into our heart as the plenary word of God. If we don't hear the word of God as the word of God, and if we don't understand it, then it won't be long until something or someone will come along and we'll say, I don't know about that. And doubt, the word of God comes into question in our mind, and then it's not long till it's gone. We lose it. It's not planted in our heart by the Holy Spirit. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in their heart. This is he which received word, received the seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. He hears the good news, but he don't count the cost. You don't figure that, hey, there's some cost that goes along with this. And you don't count that cost. The same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a little while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. So someone who hears the good news of the gospel in this ear, and they say, "Hey, that's a pretty good deal. That's something for nothing. I'll take that." And they take off with that mindset, not understanding that there's persecution involved, and there's being ostracized involved, and they're having to take a stand against this world involved, then when they have to do that, or when they're involved in that, then they say, it's not worth that. And so they choose the world, family, friends, a good time, sin, over God and His Word. And there's a choice to be made. He also that received it among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. He doesn't have time for it. He doesn't give it enough time. He doesn't give time to the word of the Lord. He's too occupied with things of this world. Too fully occupied. His time is all taken up with this life. He also that receives... But he that receives seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Now, the preparation of the heart and the answer of the tongue is of the Lord. And it is by grace that God visits us and prepares our heart, because we are His elect. He chose us to salvation before the foundation of the world, and in time He wrote our names in the covenant of grace and in the Lamb book of life, and in time He visits us and begins to teach our heart and show us what we are in ourselves and what He requires of us. When He shows us what we are in ourselves, we're convicted. We're brought under a knowledge of our sinfulness, our nothingness, our wretchedness, our wickedness before Him. And we know that in order to please God, we've got to be perfect. So we give up on ourselves. We say, hey, I ain't ever going to reach that. I'll never be what I need to be in myself. And we look around and we hear about one who is all that we need. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Buy the truth and sell it not. Now concerning His person, our Lord Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. Look at Romans chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 5. Well, let's look back. We'll begin reading verse 4. Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption, that is, the national adoption, and the glory of the old covenant? And the covenants, giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God, blessed forever. Amen. He is over all. That is, He's God over all. He's over all God, blessed forever. Amen. In First Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." Now he worked out and prepared a perfect righteousness as the covering for His people. And that's all God requires. All the righteousness that God requires is what the Lord Jesus Christ established for us. And that is what God imputes to us. Amen. And that's what we receive by faith.
Amen.
We receive that. We're assured of it. We're comfortable in it. We feel that our soul is in safe keeping in that righteousness. And we delight in what He has done. And He, that is, God the Son, was made flesh in order that He could be our near kinsman and bring in everlasting righteousness for us. He was made flesh and we beheld His glory. And in John 10:30, He said, "I and my Father are one." And then look back at 1 John 5. 1 John 5:10. 1 John 5:7, I think it is. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, and the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, so we can see in that all three of the persons of the Godhead are satisfied, fully satisfied with the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ for us. And when we receive it by faith, or as we receive it by faith, we know that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Him being our righteousness, our holiness, our wisdom, our sanctification and redemption. He's everything to us. Now there are many who oppose the truth. And the thing is, they don't realize that they do. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11. And verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which we have not accepted, you might well bear with him. So, that Jesus that loves everybody and wants to save everybody is another Jesus. He's not the Jesus of the Scripture. And to receive Him, and those who have received Him, have received another gospel. Galatians 1:6. And they stand on another gospel. And they're in bad shape in another gospel. And in 1 John, chapter 4, I think it is, verse 3. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now back in chapter 2, he says in verse 20, let's see. In verse 20, he says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lies of the truth. He is a liar that denieth that Jesus, who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now, look at verse 22 there. It says, he is Antichrist. Doesn't say he is an Antichrist. It says he is Antichrist. He is opposed to or against Christ, who denieth Christ. And how do you not deny Christ? By denying his word, or his, that is, his doctrine. So those who have received another Jesus, who loves everybody, wants to save everybody, and is all of that, they have received false Christ, in whom is no righteousness, in whom is no holiness, who is and who made has made them Antichrist. He that denieth Father and the Son is he is Antichrist. Buy the truth and sell it not. A lot of folks, you know, when in conviction, when some word convicts them, and they have thoughts of the end of the world and of judgment, and they get religious for a while, they become confused. Because there are so many counterfeit Christs. Our Lord said in Matthew 24:24 said, there shall be many false Christs and false prophets. And we definitely are there today. There are many, many false Christs. One way to confuse is to give a multitude of fakes. And so there's a multitude of fakes out there today. And a lot of times our religious upbringing we're brought up in false religion. And so when we hear the truth, naturally we rebel against it. And if we've already received something else, we think, well, that can't be right. So there's many enemies against us, and then our own nature is against the truth, against our buying of the truth. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, neither can he know them. So I'm very thankful that our Lord Jesus Christ is our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, and that we can look forward to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ without fear. Fear hath torment, perfect love casteth out fear. And it certainly does appear that day is drawing near. And just another sign of the times is, you know, we have all these signs. We've got all these earthquakes, all these storms, rising sea levels, all of these things, unrest among the nations, the threat of World War III, nuclear warfare hanging over our heads, and all of these things. Rejoice. Those are all signs. Now the scripture says we're not of the night and of darkness, that day should come upon us unaware. But we're of the day. We're children of the day and of light. And so we can discern the signs of the time. And another thing that we should look at is, since my life began, for the first time in 2,000 years, the Jews are back in that land that God promised them by an everlasting covenant. And been there for 2,000 years, governing themselves, but they are now. And they're a major player in this, in the world politics. And it's my belief they're going to get more all the time. All right. But we're glad of those things. We feel, or I feel, that our Lord Jesus Christ is soon coming. And I welcome the thought. I know that before He comes, He'll gather all His elect that are to be brought in before His coming. And so I welcome the thought of His coming. All right.